Rosie had already prayed this morning. There's God is the God of the good and the bad. And before we even enter into celebrating, which we'll do shortly, and you'll know it because we have a very special anthem that will usher us into that festive spirit. I should tell you that locally, there was an accident on a farm field this morning that we just heard about, and I can't tell you any more than what I've been told, that it's a grade 3 or 4 year old boy and got crushed by an auger that's setting posts and is in critical care right now. And I think probably it's safe to say at Chilliwack General or otherwise. Why am I having such a hard time with my microphone today? So if you could be praying for that, keeping that in mind, we don't need to know the name at this point. When I do, and if I can, I will update you on that. But apart from that, just know that there's a little boy who's in pain, and then there's a family who's watched that little boy, and we have the privilege of praying for him. And apart from that, you would have tracked with me, maybe most of you, the story of Everardo's son. Jeevan had made us aware of that even last Sunday while it was happening, how one of our partners on field in Mexico, a worker there, an indigenous worker with One Life, One Chance, has a son who couldn't walk and was having terrible troubles. And we have since found out that it was looking like it could be solved with medication, but there's a sizable tumor in his head, and we're not sure if it's malignant or not. And this little boy is needing surgery, so we're hoping that he'll get that shortly in Ensenada where it can be done. So I'm going to take yet another moment just to talk to our God, and you can do that where you are, of course, but if you'll give me that time to take, we'll do that, and then we'll head into our celebration service. Because, Father God, you are a God who is in the good and in the bad, and we can give thanks in all circumstances, as we will talk about later. But this is us now, just recognizing that you are God in control of the universe, but that you're also our daddy, our spiritual heavenly Father who cares for his kids. Whether they know you or not even, you care for them and call to them. Call to us. And so for this family that has had this tragedy befall them this morning, we don't need to pray as if to inform you. This is us joining our hearts with yours, crying with that family, and asking that you would do what only you could do to bring whatever healing possible, and that you would be a peace for that family as they wonder what's going to happen. That through it and after it, your name would receive the glory. Do it. Your person, your character would be revealed. We pray a very similar prayer for Isaac, who is Everardo's son. Thank you, Father, firstly, for helping physicians find this tumor, this growth in his brain. Thank you that he was rushed to Ensenada then when that was discovered, where I think there might be slightly better care than he might have received in San Quintin, for instance. Thank you for the workers that will work away. We hope that that surgery goes really well, and we're hoping that it's non-malignant, that it's just a growth that won't hurt him. In every way, Father, we have said it already, we've sung it already, we surrender, we choose to trust you with even these kinds of difficult details, knowing that you are the bringer of life. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. All right. Last year about this time, this is how we need to begin this gathering this morning. I won't call it a meeting. So for Shirley's sake, who took notes last year of this very same service, I need someone who would be willing to say, because they've read, or, yeah, we'd prefer if you actually had read this book to some degree, to say, you know what, the notes that were in here describing last year's gathering like this were pretty accurate. Can I have someone who'd say, that's okay? Just someone who'd say, thanks, Rod. So Rod Ellison, and someone who would second that, who would say, I think Rod's right. Thank you, Curtis, Mikhail. And then all of you who did look at it, if you could say you agree, just say, I agree where you are. Awesome. Thank you. That's about as formal as we're going to get now. Because now, oh yeah, that's right. Now I'm going to give my friend Chad Dirksen a moment. And Jim, I'm going to ask you to turn off that set of lights right there, if you wouldn't mind, please, which is in that panel back there. Keep going. Yeah, you're doing great. Do you have time to get it, Chad? Do you have that? Okay. So we're going to celebrate this morning, and here's how I want to start our morning. You may remember this little tune from it's from 1980. So here we go. Please go, if you can. Okay. All right. Okay. So if you can imagine. Ba 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 da ba ba. Can you sing it with me? Where were you people? Celebrate good times, come on! Okay, it's even better on the video. So the video, I'm going to encourage you, the link for it I think might even be in your notes. And if you can retrieve it, great. If you can't, do it. It was more like effects, right? I'm going to chop block it.
Turn off the other lights, please.
Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Celebrate good times. Come on. Celebrate. Celebrate good times. Come on. Let's celebrate. Celebration to last throughout the years. So bring your good times,
good times.
And your laughter too. And we gonna laugh. Celebrate your party with you. Come on now.
Celebration.
Let's all celebrate and have a good time.
Thank you. Thank you. That was excellent. Thank you. Now, Jim, can I get a row of lights on, just not the one right over that. It'd be great. Beautiful. How did that feel, hey? Was that good or what? Who loves that song? Yeah. So now we're dating ourselves, because who can tell me when that song was recorded and released to public consumption? Do you remember the year? 83 is a very good guess. 86, no. 74, no. 1980, right on the button. So just in case you didn't get the lyric, and the lyric is very thoughtful, let me tell you, Yahoo, which I'm not sure that's actually the lyric, but, and then celebration, followed by Yahoo, followed by celebration, celebrate good times, et cetera, et cetera. We are going to celebrate and have a good time this morning, including lunch afterwards, but perhaps not like, can you tell me, by the way, who did this song? Do you have any idea? Cool. You guys are awesome. I totally did not know that. I Google searched celebration song thingy, and I got Cool in the Gang, so well done. Their version of celebrating might be slightly different than ours this morning, but we'll celebrate anyway. All right. Because there are always things to celebrate. Or as Paul says, we can give thanks in all circumstances, as I'd said earlier, praying, meaning this, I think. In all of our circumstances, whether they're good or whether they're bad, we can find something for which we can be thankful, all right? Worship, if I can say it this way succinctly, simply connects our thankfulness to its proper source, who is God. Our Old Testament cousins celebrated mighty acts of God, which is a scripture verse or phrase, rather, a number of different ways. And we'll describe three of them really briefly here. The first one, of course, is through oral tradition, which is to say passing down the stories of their faith by mouth from generation to generation. Second of these is by way of feasts and festivals, like Purim, which celebrates the deliverance of the Jewish people from Haman in the days of Queen Esther of Persia, for instance, like Passover, which celebrates the deliverance of the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt, and Yom Kippur, which is otherwise known as the Day of Atonement, which is a Jewish day of fasting, prayer, and repentance, and is really about dedicating a day in terms of body, mind, and soul. You got to wonder what's going on in our children's ministry right now. Anybody curious? I mean, seriously, that's weird. We don't usually get that. That's some kind of atonement going on out there. And then the third thing they did quite a bit is they sang songs, actually. So I would say this. There are actually seven songs in the Old Testament, songs about God and his children, sung by his children. There is a song about the Red Sea delivery, a song about water in the desert, a song about God being Israel's triumph, sung as a sermon by Moses to Israel, a song sung by Deborah about the Lord avenging Israel, a song about God bringing life out of death from Hannah's otherwise barren womb, a song of repentance at the closing of David's life, and a song which is a whole book long, actually, the Song of Songs, as it were, Solomon's song about God's perfect love. Seven different songs in the Old Testament celebrating the mighty acts and personality of God. Our worship songs borrow from this tradition, of course. They tell us, remind us of stories, and they put theology to our lips. And by theology, we mean theologos, theo meaning God, logos meaning word, words about God. Like this morning, we've already sung, "You are good. Nothing and no one comes anywhere close to you. The earth and oceans deep only reflect this truth." "Forever Rain," which is one of my favorites, actually. "You are hope. You have covered all my sin. You are life. In you, death has lost its sting. Lord, I need you," which we just sung. "Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me." We have kinds of feasts and festivals which remind us of the progressive story that God is telling from Old Covenant to New Covenant. And we might call them Christmas and Easter. We tell and we retell the Christmas story every year, don't we? And so we should, I think. We annually celebrate Easter, and we regularly celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when we take communion together. And sometimes we tell stories. Sometimes our stories are about the mighty acts of God in our life, but sometimes, actually I'd say more often than not, they are the simple stories of everyday life with the God who is Emmanuel, God with us. They are the stories of the things that we've done and the things that have happened to us that have moved us along a pathway of discipleship, from knowing God to growing in our relationship with him to showing how God has made us by serving others with our gifts to going and talking to others about life and faith. They are the stories of people coming to faith in Christ. They are the stories of people who read and pray and worship. They are the stories of people who serve in the church. They are the stories of people who share about Jesus. Now, there'd never be enough time in a morning to share all of these kinds of stories. So we're just going to share stories of how what we do as a church reflect the priorities of our budget, help us to move along a pathway of discipleship, and identifies the source of our thankfulness. So we're going to begin that, actually, that storytelling, out of our children's ministry department with Erin Enns as she comes forward. Why don't we welcome her here by applauding? Erin Enns, our children's ministry director. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Get my papers here. Prepared this morning. So it's been a little over a year since I started here. And I've really enjoyed getting to know your kids and our incredible volunteers. I cannot stand up here without thanking the incredible team of people who take their time every week to figure out what they're going to teach, to go beyond what's actually in the curriculum and find crafts or activities or songs that they want to do with the kids. And they are just an amazing, amazing group who give so much of themselves. And being in a classroom with 15 pairs of eyes is not, looking at them is not scary, but if I ask them to come up here, their email stops working, their phone falls down and breaks, and I hear a lot of crickets. So this year I asked them to give me a quote on what they enjoy about their time in Kids Zone. So Katrina and Kennedy, who teach in our preschool kindergarten class, said, "It's nice to see kids learn about God, and we feel a greater connection to our church family." So they get an A+ for a really great statement. I love their statements because I feel like they got to the heart of what I want to see. I want to see them enjoying their time teaching kids about God, and I want them to also feel a connection to our greater church body. As Crossroads grows through our discipleship pathway, and as Rob speaks on it, on Know and Grow and Show and Go, Kids Zone is where our kids are getting to know God and to grow in their faith. And our volunteers get the opportunity to show and go by serving in a ministry and then talking about their faith with kids. Every spring, Kids Zone hosts what we call Fun in the Sun. That's S-O-N. And it is a four-day VBS-like program. And it goes during spring break. This last year, we sold out in record time. We had 107 kids, 30-plus volunteers, 7 field trips, too many games of dodgeball to even begin to count, and 2,000 pieces of Lego. Our theme was based around the Lego movie and who the special is. I messaged a family that came to Fun in the Sun. They do not attend church. And I asked them what their kids learned or what was their favorite part of the week. Their first child, who is just turned 8, he said, "I like doing the crafts and playing in the gym, and I learned how to have lots and lots of fun." Their second child, who is 6, said, "I liked watching the cows get milked and bowling. We just had fun." This family is extremely closed off to anything with faith. Parents are probably closest to being determined as atheists. Another family at our church has invited these kids to come to Sunday school, and the parents would not let them come. So Fitz gave us this great opportunity to speak to these kids, to talk to them about God, and they came out of it thinking that it was fun and that they enjoyed themselves. And while the kids didn't give me a quote about Jesus, which would have been awesome, I know from talking to the mom that the kids asked questions, and she called me because she's like, "I don't know." So I know faith continued to be talked about during the year, and still they talk about it. And these kids are so excited about coming next year. They've already asked me when the forums are going up online, and we look forward to hosting these kids again. And I think that is exactly what Fitz is about. It's getting to kids that we can't normally get to on a Sunday. Next is Greg.
You know, if I knew, Rob, that we could choose our own anthem song to come up here, I would have had something prepared too, but I don't know what that would be. This is honestly the part that I like, a chance to share with you guys a little bit of what we do in youth ministry. I'm thankful for this time. Give you an opportunity to give you an idea of what we've been up to and a window into our world. So I put together a couple of pictures for you to check out and maybe laugh at while I'm talking. It gives you a little window into our youth ministry. You'll see several snapshots behind us of our youth ministry over the course of the past year. Pictures being worth 1,000 words, I figure this is the best way for me to communicate all that I can about this past year, because honestly, I could not summarize that in the 3 minutes that I have here right now. I could talk forever about the hope and excitement that I have for these young adults. And if you want to hear more or be involved in any way, I'd love to go out for coffee with you and talk a little bit about youth ministry and why I value it and how I could use your support in it. 4 years and 10 months, that's how long I've been leading youth ministries here at Crossroads. And honestly, I have to say, I am incredibly blessed. So blessed. The end of this year saw the graduation of a large group of youth that I have had the privilege of ministering to since their entry into our youth group. As a result, I spent some time reflecting on my 5 years of youth ministry here at Crossroads. And it's been an awesome experience walking alongside these youth for the duration of their high school experience and seeing them develop into men and women that know God, are growing in relationship with Him, and show it in their lives as they pursue different paths in their lives. It's not lost on me the large number of rich relationships that I have developed while in this position. Youth, their parents, youth leaders, staff members, volunteer helpers, local charities, community members, and more. In fact, that I know that I've been changed by these incredible experiences and opportunities and meet new people and see Christ in the lives of those around me. In his book, Sustainable Youth Ministries by Mark DeVries, he shared a couple stats about why youth come out to youth every week, what they value, why they come out. Coming in first at 73% was the number one influencing factor. Youth want to be with their friends. So by providing a welcome environment, nice. The number two qualities that youth are looking for at 70%, quality relationship with other teens. Number three, and this one surprised me, but this is where we're really strong, at 59%, youth are looking for a senior pastor that understands and loves teenagers. Would you believe that? What I love about life here at Crossroads is that our youth and adult ministries intersect and don't exist as standalone ministries within the church. Coming in near the bottom of the list was that they were attracted to a fast-paced, entertaining, and showy youth ministry. So if I were to summarize these observations correctly, then what our youth is looking for is a group that is welcoming, a place to develop meaningful relationship with their friends, under the leadership of a senior pastor that loves and appreciates them, and not a showy experience, but instead offers authentic relationship with their friends. Ultimately, we know that if we create an environment where they belong, where they listen, then they will listen to what we believe. If we develop meaningful relationships and authentic living in the lives of friends and their leaders, they will begin to change. Whatever reason our youth come out, we know that over time their experience begins to shape their lives, instilling in them the truth and the opportunity to work out their faith over time. So if they belong, believe, then they'll change. It's a process that takes time, and it takes commitment, and it takes sacrifice, but in the end it changes lives. I want to thank all of my leaders here today for how you've invested the lives of the youth here at Crossroads. Actually, I want to thank all of you in this faith community for providing the youth with an accepting environment and modeling your Christian faith for our youth. As a church, you have allowed us the freedom and finances to create an environment where they want to be a part of. You have invested in leaders so that they can be examples to the youth, and you have engaged our youth and worked alongside them in Mexico and in teams and local ministries like Cyrus House. So thank you for your undeniable support of me and the leaders as we walk alongside these awesome young men and women and lead them closer to a relationship with God, because we are blessed. I do have a couple of people that I've asked to come up and just share a little bit about their experience. So one would be Stephanie Decker, a recent grad from our youth ministry and consequentially a new youth leader as well this year. And then after that, Caitlin Gross, I'll just invite you up to share a few words as well.
Yeah, so I'm Stephanie Decker. I joined this church just over 2 years ago. The youth group was a logical place to go to make friends here. It was kind of intimidating because everybody's really close, but that was one of the things that drew me into it. Like, I wanted to be a part of that, and so that was really cool. I've been getting to know these people for the 2 years that I've been showing up whenever I can. And so the youth group had meant a lot to me. And so I decided to become a youth leader. Last year was my grade 12 year, and I was going through some tough relationships. I discovered that a lot of the friendships I was in were not good for me, and by a lot of them I mean all my close friends. So my closest, my best friends, they were bad for me at that point in time. I was getting dragged along with the current, and I wasn't standing up for what I believe in and who I want to be. And so it was a hard realization to come to, but the youth group for me allowed me to have a group of friends that I knew that I could go to throughout it. And so I ended up hanging out with them at lunch instead of my friends, and slowly I transitioned into having new friends and a new support group, and that was really cool for me to have. And so personally, I would hands down recommend this youth group. It's really saved my relationship with God, and it's brought me closer to being the person I want to be, and they continue to challenge me and push me to be better at what I want to do and who I am. And so, yeah, I would recommend it.
Thank you, Stephanie. Yeah, and Caitlin Gross is now in your fourth year as a youth leader. And so she's going to share a little bit of her experience as well.
Okay, so this morning Greg asked me to talk about why I became a youth leader and kind of how it's helped in my journey of faith with God. So I initially became a youth leader because I want to be a teacher. So I thought, what better way to get experience with young kids than to spend time with them all the every week? So I hate public speaking. I'm very nervous right now. What better career than to take on teaching, public speaking? So I became a youth leader because of that reason. And honestly, I've stayed because I have a heart for you guys. It's awesome hanging out with them. It's like hanging out with friends, but they're much younger than you, so it kind of makes you feel good about yourself. it's just fun. I love doing it. I love being there every week. I'm really busy with school, and my husband often tells me to skip out because I'm so busy, but I just can't do it. I love being there. I love their energy. And, it honestly brings me closer to God. My faith is stronger because I get to share him with them. I don't get to find a lot of time in my day to just spend with him because I'm studying or I'm trying to spend time with my husband. But when I go to youth, I get to talk about God, and I get to talk about ways that he's just present in my life every day that I don't really take time to find to tell myself even. So I get to share what he's doing in my life and what he's doing in their lives through what they're telling me. And I think that's really special. It's a really good way to be mindful of him. And they're awesome to hang out with, and the youth events are fun, and so it's good. And I plan to stay a long time.
Hanging out with younger people makes you feel better. You'll find me in the nursery next weekend. I'd love to feel good about myself. And if that's what it takes, that's where I'm going. It's awesome. Young adults, I am super grateful, Jackie and I both, for the time we've had with our young adults for over a decade since we've been here. I'm grateful that they continue to seek God and grow in Christ. I am grateful that so many of them participate in the life of our church, like in Kids Zone as teachers or youth workers, as Caitlin just talked about, set up crews, worship, not just leading here, but all the pieces in behind as well, life groups, all those pieces. We are, as Caitlin said, as Greg has said, as Aaron has said, we are blessed people here. And I'm grateful that they take their faith on the road, figuring out what it means to live and share a with God life in their homes and in their workplaces. I am also grateful for Josh and Jen Gregan. Yeah, okay, sure. Yes, we have relatives. Good. Along with Phil and Caitlin, actually, who've stepped into young adult leadership for this next season, as we have stepped out, Jackie and I. Blessings on you guys all as you lead. Are Josh and Jen here? I thought I saw them. No, okay. Are they? There. We get Jen. That's, yeah, awesome. So thanks for that, guys. And I'm grateful for our adults, too, in amongst us here, even those named and not in our ACS booklet, for all that you, that all that we do towards helping each other along a pathway of discipleship. I'm grateful for our connections team who brings us together over food and fun. I'm grateful to all of you who play a part on Sunday morning worship, in our gathering setup teams, especially our newbie captain, Caleb Steekstra, who actually you are here still. Okay. He's got to go to work today, so he won't be able to stay long enough to help us clean up, but welcome and thanks, Caleb. Carol at our library, greeters and ushers, especially our newbie, Stephanie Decker, who is helping out and forming teams that include our youth as well. To our audiovisual crew at the back, who even this morning, in a service that has a lot of component pieces, I was bringing stuff in at 10:30 to add, and this had to be changed, and computers sometimes don't function properly. Who knew? So that's a challenge that they face regularly. To our worship teams, to our Kids Zone staff, and to our finance team, especially our newbie Ellie Cron, if she is here. I wanted to make sure we were noticing and thanking her. I am grateful for those who lead us on retreats, especially Derek Lapine, and now this year Leanne Kropp and Caitlin Gross. So yes, Caitlin needs protecting. She says yes to a lot of good things. I'm grateful to God that he's at work in and through us in all of these such ministries as we lead them and as we learn from them even as we lead them. At this time, I'd like to ask that snappy couple to my left, the La Rochelles, to come forward if you wouldn't mind. Snappy couple. Snap it along the way if you like to make that even funnier than it is. Because we're going to talk about another life group we're adding to the mix of things. If I could give you this microphone. Am I going to give this to Luke or to Stacy? Yes?
I'm the chatterbox.
Oh, there's the cordless one. We'll get that next time, perhaps. You're the chat. You want the cordless?
Yeah.
Okay. Why am I slumming it with this cord? Do I press mute? How do I see if that works? Yeah.
It works.
I know the sound guys love it when you tap the mic like that. Am I right? Yeah. Tony's like, that is a very expensive mic. Okay. So, Luke and Stacy LaRochelle. So, really, one question to ask you, and that is, you've been thinking, praying about, watching how you might get back involved, and you've come up with this idea around a life group that you have dreamed up. What is it, and what is it going to look like?
So, we're going to invite families into our home. We're going to eat.
I like it already.
At the beginning, we're going to feed you, and then we're going to send the kids down to watch a movie downstairs with free babysitting, and then go up as the adults and study together for about an hour and a half.
Yeah, give or take, right?
Give or take.
What time does it start?
Starts at 5, ends at 7.
And it'll be on what day of the week?
Sunday night.
So Sundays from 5 to 7, I think the particulars are in your bulletin. Now, this came out of their own sense, but also just them hearing from others in our congregation. You know, it's actually kind of tough to find childcare sometimes. Even though we've said we'll subsidize it, it's kind of tough sometimes. So if you could, you know, show up at the La Rochelle's, have one of your meal preps done per week at 5 o'clock to 5:30 and eat with others. What are you going to make? Like something really...
You have to come find out.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to give it away. Okay. I thought I had an answer to that, actually, but now it's a mystery. Okay. So come and
we'll find out what Luke's going to make.
So pizza. Okay.
Craft dinner.
That's the male sort of response. I got to make dinner for a lot of people. Okay. Why don't I order pizza, honey? Does that work for you? Yes, it does work for me. So 5 o'clock to 5:30-ish like that, and then they'll get together as adults. So the child care is already there. Bring your kids with you and hang out as adults every Sunday at the La Rochelle's. All right? Any questions to ask them while they're up here? Then let's thank them for coming up. Thank you. Anytime, buddy. Luke likes the wireless. That's good. Okay. Okay. If you feel like singing, go right ahead. So all the details for the La Rochelle group in your bulletin. If you would talk to them today, let them know they're coming, because Luke will need to know how much to make, of course. But apart from that, give them a shout through the week. Yeah, thanks. Good question, Chris. So not today, but next week, and that's why we sort of had them up this week, just so that you know it's going to happen, who they are, if you didn't know them already. Good question, buddy. Next Sunday is the kickoff for that group. All right. I am also grateful to God, and that's what we're talking about here, celebrating God, the awesome works of God, for our current partnerships in our church, both those that are local and that are global. Apart from what we do intuitively to bless others from day to day, and I know that you do that. As believers, as Crossroadians, you are actively asking, how can I serve and how can I bless from day to day? We also have local partnerships with CCS, Chilliwack Community Services, and Cyber Center, the Community Cupboard, Fraser Health, Ruth and Naomi's Mission, and the Salvation Army. These are all ways in which we, and I'll say it this way because it's germane to what we're doing today, that we budget to bless. Hey, listen, it might be awkward to talk about money on Sunday morning, but we talk about money every Sunday morning when we say to you, please give what you can in support of the mission of this church. So we're now telling you, this is what we do with it. And we think that's actually an act of worship, too. Here's the story of a family literacy student whom we supported this past year through Chilliwack Community Services by way of providing nutritional food snacks for her and her children, and to, for that matter, all the students in those programs. Because we agree with Chilliwack Community Services, it's actually easier to learn when your stomach's not growling. Here's the story. This student volunteered to share it, which she wrote and delivered now, to 150 people at a CCS function. Though incredibly anxious, this in part is what she shared. Good evening. I would like to talk to you a little bit about my experiences with family literacy over the years. When my daughter was born, I realized I wanted to create a strong, healthy, and stable future for the both of us. I found family literacy in my search to obtain the education I needed to get into the social services department at UFV and gain a degree in social work with the end goal of working in child protection. Why is this? We'll find out. I only had grade 8 and had been out of school for way too long. Coming to this program gave me the confidence I needed to make my goals come true. The staff at Family Lit have been a strong influence and support in making this happen. I have never been in such a supportive environment. They have been so helpful in my journey with education as well as my personal struggles. Life has sent me many obstacles. I became a single mother to leave an abusive home and relationship. And with the staff and my own family, I'm at a point today where I can stand in front of you with pride and confidence that no matter what, I will hold my dreams of my future for myself and my daughter very soon. I also had a wonderful opportunity to be a part of Family Virtues. Family Virtues is actually something we've talked about here at Crossroads on Sunday morning. We learn about parenting, teaching our children through virtues. Through family literacy, my daughter is able to go to preschool right across the hall from me, which has been fabulous, giving me a sense of security and protection. The staff are absolutely amazing. It gives me peace of mind and lets me focus on my education. Joining the family literacy program has been the best experience I've had and the best decision I could ever have made. And you're a part of that. And I'm grateful to God for our global partnership with One Life, One Chance in Mexico, where we have been able over the past 4 years to build houses and lead Bible camps and distribute food and clothing, amongst other things, and tell stories about our mutual transformation. And sometimes one of us goes somewhere, not Mexico and not part of our teams, and we say, awesome. Elsie Thiessen is going to be that someone soon. So at this point, I'd like to invite her up to share a little bit about her global mission adventure next month. So Elsie, if you would, and if we could welcome her by clapping, that'd be awesome. And I'm going to get the cordless mic.
Yeah.
There we go. Right on. As you may or may not know, for those that, like Elsie, are going on a mission trip of their own apart from our team, we do four things, or try to do four things. One is a pre-trip interview like this, including a prayer card, which you will find, if you haven't already, in your bulletin this morning. We have given her extras so that she can give them to family and friends apart from here and now. And we will, as a third part of our support of her, we'll do a love offering this morning, which I think I explained last week is intended for her to defray some of her costs and encourage her that way, but also cannot be received. It's a slightly different thing than our regular offering. And then a post-trip interview. That is a very good picture, by the way.
I know. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, well, I do. You sent it to me because you thought it was very flattering.
Yeah.
Things. That's what
my
happened.
Daughter
yeah.
said, where did that come from? I'm like, I do not know.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about what you're going to be doing and who you're going to do it with and how we can pray for you.
So a group of 14 dwindled down to 3 okay. women. So we're not building and we're not doing concrete pouring, any of that. We'll just shadow Judy wherever she takes us. We're going to just, we thought we might not go, and she just said, I'd really like it if you still came. So we said, yeah.
And to give some context, those of you who might not know, Phil and Judy Bergen have been in Guatemala for how many years? 10 years? Decade? Maybe a bit more?
Maybe more, yeah.
And come from this church family. And as many of you also know, Phil passed away, is it less than a year now
yeah.
ago? Yeah. So Judy's there on her own and stays there because that's family for her, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's where he was rested. That was his wish, was to be buried there. So
yeah,
she did do that.
You're going to be shadowing Judy, which will include stops in Antigua, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you see yourself doing?
A lot of time spent in the soup kitchen preparing gleaner soup. So anyone that's volunteered there, they love that soup.
So that includes our youth, actually. They have been at gleaners.
Saw the pictures.
So yeah. Well done. Good job,
yeah.
youth.
Good. And that's like a staple. Whenever they go to a family, there's always bags of gleaner soup that's left behind with the beans and all that fun stuff. We are spending a day on the garbage dump, which apparently will be ripe. And we are preparing soup there and serving it to the families that call it home. So
awesome.
That'll be an interesting day.
Yeah, have you done that before?
No, no, we missed that one last time.
It's very humbling. How long are you gone for and when are you going? I think those details may be in the card, but how long are you gone for?
10 days, okay. November 4th to the 14th.
So next week?
I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The week after, rather.
I haven't packed, I don't know. The day before it'll happen.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Last question. How can we pray for you? And then in a moment, I'm going to invite some folks to come forward and just lay hands on Elsie to pray for her. So how can we pray for you?
And I'd say safe journey because I hate flying.
Okay, that's tough then. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, we wear these shirts everywhere we go. And we only
can
have
one. Can you turn
around
so they know?
Yeah.
Oh, love guat. That's right. Okay.
And we have to wear it everywhere we go. So we do a lot of hand washing and hanging it up to wear the next day, and people talk, they ask, and just that we would be open to sharing, you know, why we're flying and why we're doing what we do, and get more people on board.
Awesome.
And I have the privilege of meeting my two sponsor students.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah.
So she's only left me 8 pounds, and I have like this big Roots backpack for each of them was. And I'm filled it with all this stuff. And my son was out in Kelowna. I'm like, so am I close to 8 pounds? He goes, Mom, one of them is 8 pounds.
Right.
I have 2.
Yeah.
So I'm just dwindling. But he said, put it in your backpack. You just pack that weight and, you know, just put what you can into the big duffel bags that we fly out with. So.
Yeah. You can do it.
I know. Okay. I'll figure it out.
If you would stand with me then, and maybe if I could have a couple of people come forward, just lay hands on Elsie to pray for her for safety and for her witness while she's there, whether she's wearing a shirt or not, whether she gets asked questions or not. I'll take that from you if you don't mind, and I'll give this to whoever wouldn't mind praying, and then we'll take that offering shortly thereafter. So I'll ask Stephanie to have her team ready for that offering. If I get maybe one or two people to pray, that would be perfect, and I'll give you the microphone. You can pass it to that second person. Awesome. Thanks, Doug. And anybody else? Behind? Okay, so Stacy's here otherwise. Okay, thank you.
Lord, we just give you thanks that you have laid on Elsie's heart the desire to go to Guatemala to be with Judy, to support her, to support the work there. Lord, we pray for protection as she travels, ease of mind, ease of spirit, smooth flights, just the connections, everything would go well. And Lord, we pray that as she is there, as the other ladies are there, as they are serving in your name, that it would be a blessing to them, but more of a blessing to those that they serve. We pray, Lord, that it would be evident that as they serve, as they make soup, as they help in whatever way they can, it would be evident that they are doing this in Jesus' name. And that as people see what they are doing, that you would be evident, that you would be clearly seen through their actions. And so we look forward to hearing how you are going to work through her life, in her life, and we give you praise in advance for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, I thank you so much for your heart in Elsie, just the way that you've moved through her and that she can hear you clearly, the places that you want her to go, the things that you want her to do. I pray that she would be anxious in nothing, but in everything, that through prayer and petition, she would just grant her requests to you as she flies, that she would just feel your presence, God, that she wouldn't be fearful, that she would give you glory for that. I pray that you would bless her by showing her the fruits that you are doing through her life with her sponsor kids. I pray that would be a beautiful reunion and that these kids would just see the mighty works in Elsie and that they would just be thankful for her and that she'd be thankful for them. And I just pray for safety and for your vision, God, that she would see these people through your eyes and that you would just bless her and all of her team. And I pray a blessing on all the people that work with Elsie and that are in Elsie's lives, and that they, as they see her going, and that they would be able to ask questions, and that she would have the strength to share her faith with them. Amen.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. Mm. So I'll ask our ushers if they would take this offering for Elsie in support of her, and then perhaps Stephanie, when you do get it, you can collect it and give it to Elsie afterwards and maybe even let me know what that would be, that amount, so we can report that back to the congregation. That'd be great. There is actually one last group of folks I'd like to thank God for this morning, and they are our staff and our pastors. I'm grateful to God, for Shirley. She's not listening, but she is because she's taking notes this morning. So I am grateful for you, my friend. You always greet us with a cheerful hello when we come through the office door. And sometimes it's crazier than that. It's hello or whatever it might be, and that's kind of fun too. And I return that volley of good fun, who is always willing to do whatever she can to help, and who loves her church and prays for her pastors when we need it, and we need it lots. So thank you, Shirley. I'm grateful to God for you. Grateful to God for Aaron and Greg as well. For Aaron, I am grateful to God for your sharp mind and get it done attitude. For the way you make us laugh all in the office. We all sort of think you could earn a living on a comedy stage. And yet, also for your very sensitive heart to things that really matter. For Greg, I'm grateful to God for your gentle spirit and your faithfulness to our God and to our church. And for the growth I see in your leadership as a pastor, not just to our youth, but to all of us. We are blessed to have the team we have. And by way of thanking them on your behalf, I'd like to show you this Skit Guys video called From the Pastor's Chair. And I want you to know before I show it, and I'll need you to turn that light off again, Jim, so we can see it as best possible. This is not to make fun of you, but it is mostly for our edification as pastors, because this isn't really like you, But this does happen. The pastor's chair.
Hey, Pastor, thanks for seeing me. This is so great. I have been wanting to talk to you for quite a while, and to be right here with you right now is awesome.
Does it look like I have an appointment?
Being the children's minister, first the good news, because who doesn't like good news?
Listen, I've been looking at the numbers, and we are hurting, all right? We are bleeding with a capital B, okay?
I know you've been wanting to talk to me, but being the youth minister, I'm really busy, okay? I'm doing a lot of stuff.
But as building superintendent of this here church, I got a problem.
Singles ministry, it ain't working. No one's coming. You know it, and I know it.
There's only one thing I think this church is missing. Snakes.
I just wanted to confess to you, my pastor, that the Ten Commandments, I've done all of them. Okay, I've committed all of them, okay? Except murder.
I am the chairman of the deacons of this church.
This weekend we're doing a junior high lock-in. That is a great concept, isn't it? I mean, whoever thought of that? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
What if we rent out the left side of our auditorium to that new hipster church, huh?
Here's my letter of resignation. I'm going back to work at Starbucks because they give benefits.
The good news is, with VBS, we had so many kids involved, and 17 kids came to know the Lord.
I was here long before you got here.
The bad news is we've lost one of them, Timmy.
And I'll be here long after you're gone.
I need you to have my back, okay? I need you to have my back because, I mean, the seniors, they are on me. Not my senior high class, but the senior citizens. They do not like me.
We're not using it. You're not going to fill it up with your messages. And here's the simple truth. That could help us out. What do you say? Hip, hip, hipster away?
Get all of yourself. Just get all of yourself. How about we let Carl here loose on some of our congregants? See who's without sin and who's not, huh?
I'm sure this happens a lot in churches, doesn't it? No? Okay, no.
By the way, I can't get that smell out of the band.
So just have my back, okay? I'm really, really trying. I got a lot on my plate. Do you see that? God has been talking to me really big time. And I think he wants me to preach.
Adios, muchacho. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Carl's out.
No hard feelings? Don't mind if I do. Thank you, sir. Is that cigarettes?
You need to get right with the Lord or get out of here, because that snake's poisonous. I'm not kidding! Carl!
Hi, Chris. We're doing a service here. I should tell you that was a video sent us by one of you and was strongly endorsed by many others. So that's funny, eh? That's funny. Hi.
Yes.
Hi.
So just on behalf, when we kind of heard this video was coming out, the leadership team realized it's also Appreciate Pastors Month. So we started discussing through some emails out there. And on behalf of the congregation, Greg, where's Greg? Come on.
Okay. Do you need Aaron up here as well?
We got Pastor Greg and we got Pastor Rob.
Yeah.
And on behalf of the congregation, congratulations. We know the kind of crazy hours that you guys put in. Mm-hmm. We know the crazy people that you deal with on a regular basis. On behalf of the congregation, thank you very much. Enjoy. Thank you very much. Enjoy. Can I pray for you guys first before you take off?
Yeah, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Dear God, in this celebration service today, we recognize all the hard work these gentlemen do and the hours above and beyond that we've asked them to do with the salaries we've given them. We know their phones are always on, their emails are always answered, and we thank you so much for that. And their vision moving forward, just may you bless that and grow that for your kingdom. Mm-hmm. Let me pray. Amen.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Wow. That was... One of the things we're going to do this morning, and necessarily, is we're going to take two affirming votes, one for new leadership team members and one for our budget. So I'm going to ask our three leadership team nominees, who are Jen Gregan, if she'd come forward, Leanne Kropp, and Cynthia McHale, if you would come forward as well at this time. That would be awesome. We had a chance last week to ask Jen any questions you might have on your mind about her and to get to know her a little bit better. So I've asked Leanne and Cynthia to answer for themselves the same questions I'd asked Jen last week, which were, how long have you been here, and how have you been using your gifts in service of the church, and why leadership now? Why are you okay with that? So there you go. You can answer them in that order or in any particular order, Leanne, Kropp, and then Cynthia, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, I'll try to remember them all. I have been at Crossroads for 7 years. When I got married, Dale had already been at this church since he was born. Yeah, so then it was a nice fit for me to come in and just be very welcomed, and I've really enjoyed my time here. I really like how easy it was to step into service. Like, I don't think I would have done it at my home church in Langley. So we jumped right into youth ministry, and I really enjoyed that. And we are involved in the young adults groups, and I've taught Sunday school a little bit too. So fun in the sun, I did that for as long as I could, sanity wise. And I think I really like being in a place where God can give me ideas. And I think that this is, I really like being on a team that gives you the avenue to think differently and in a way that you haven't necessarily thought before. So, and I'm really passionate about women's ministry and mentorship, and so I'm really excited about this opportunity. Maybe I can get some of my ideas out there and meet new people. Like, it's really good. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Curtis and I have been here at Crossroads for 8 or 9 years now, as long as we've lived in Chilliwack. And it was a place where, from the first day we came, we just instantly connected, and this church has been our home and our family. We don't have any family really locally, and we've often said, I don't know how we'd get by without the family that we've created here. We've been involved in a number of different ministries from time to time. I've helped out in nursery and kids zone. I've been involved with the mom's group ministry. Right now we're leading a life group, and we've done that in the past as well. And we've just kind of jumped in off and on where we've been needed. Why now? I don't know. I'm just really excited about the opportunity. I'm really excited to help with the church at a organizational level, maybe. That's an area I really enjoy working in, and it's just a good time.
Did you want to ask? No. Okay. Are there any questions you might have? I got too loud. Oh, I see. I got too loud. Or Leanne or Cynthia, any questions? These are the ladies we're recommending as your leadership team to leadership this year, and you'll be able to affirm that shortly by way of vote. Any questions? All right. Thanks, Jen, Leanne, and Cynthia. You can have a seat. That's perfect. I'm going to ask Ray Simbluck to come forward of our leadership team to overview our budget for this year.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob. This is a little bit new territory for me. I'm not normally the numbers guy, but I wanted to just, first of all, the first slide that I made was just to say a huge thank you to this church for your ministry heart. In our life groups the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how God demonstrates a missionary heart, how he went from being this phenomenal cosmic power and now itty bitty living space in the person of Jesus Christ in a human body. And that missionary heart of Jesus, we've already seen pieces of today. From Elsie going to Guatemala to Fitz, the reports of people who aren't connected to a faith journey, being able to experience what it might be like to know God. So I want to say a huge, huge thank you to you guys for your ministry heart. We had released our financial statements a couple of weeks ago for everybody, and so you've had a chance to look at them. We're not going to be taking questions because any questions that have come up, we've already managed and dealt with. So I wanted to just kind of do a quick review of some of the things so that we're all on the same page and we can kind of celebrate the generous heart of this church together. So in review, we want to say thank you, first of all, for supporting our amazing pastoral staff. Aaron Enns, Greg Dirksen, Rob Ayer, Shirley Esau, you guys, thank you for your ministry. We've said that, but thank you as a congregation at Crossroads for being able, for allowing that to be possible. When I was growing, one of the first mentors in ministry for me was a gentleman in Maple Ridge. And when we talked about giving and money and things, he says, you know, God blesses us with money so that we can give it. And we get to give. But it doesn't end there because we get to give. The sowing and reaping thing, we get to give to get to give, to get to give, to get to give, and you have embodied that for us. So we want to just say a huge thank you. Some of the things that as a church we've participated in over the year, Jim Gates is the hospital chaplain. We also had monies that were donated part of our budget, and you have supported the people that have gone to San Quintin. Thank you for that. We heard a little bit about the literacy program. That's wonderful. Next slide. The Cyrus Center is a new one we've been in partnering with this year. For those of you who don't know, the Cyrus Center is a way for the teens in our city who have fallen through the social services cracks between like 15 and 18, where there's not a lot of opportunity to access any monies for social services. Cyrus Center has stepped in to fill that gap. And as a church, you've participated in that. So thank you for that. We had like 22 tote bags filled for taking with the team down to San Quintin with hygiene supplies, toys. We've done sort of like the Christmas shoebox idea there, and you guys have been phenomenal with that. Thank you. The community cupboard, Jocelyn Decker has been at the vanguard of that, and here in our church, we've participated in that. So we want to say thank you as part of that. As we look forward, to what we want to hope to continue to do, the idea of local and global missions is something we really want to participate strongly in. And it's important to us because it's important to you. That's something we've heard strongly from you as a congregation. So we want to just continue to do that, to developing Kids Zone here, the ministries in our church, Kids Zone, youth ministry, adult ministries. And offsetting some of the costs for our support staff. So those are the things that we're doing, but what we're talking about is budget stuff. And if you've looked at those things, there was some questions that came up, and I wanted to make sure that we all are aware. First of all, it's easy when you look at a budget to go, hey, wait a second, we spend way more money than we've got on the line there. What's going on? And we're a non-profit entity. So there are some specific rules around how we go about things with money. And so it's normal for a nonprofit charity to operate a deficit budget. A deficit budget means that there's going to be more expenses than there are income. And you're going to see that. And so you've seen at the bottom of the report, there's like $17,000. And I'm going to share a cool story about that just at the end of the report here. But some of the things that you might see as glaring, our missions budget with our Mexico missions trip, there's like $20,000 actually spent, and we've budgeted 50. And like, what are we doing? How come if we're spending 70, we're only budgeting 50? That doesn't make sense. The way it works is the church portion of what we actually do to support on your behalf through a budget is that 50. But the 70 that is the actual includes the money that's been raised by the team members, by the meal auction, by other fundraising initiatives. And we have to put that in the general income part of our report, so it doesn't actually show up as missions income. So that's why you're going to see that difference there. So I wanted to just make sure that you're aware, we're not planning to be in debt. We actually have been thinking about how we do that, but we're kind of constrained by with counsel from our accountant on how we show those things in the income. One of the questions that was asked was, so with the shortfall, how do we cover that? What are we going to do with that? Do we take a loan out? How do we manage the future? And this is another huge thank you to you, because some of the things that are reported on these financial things, you look at them, if you're like me, you're like, yeah, I see one, and I see a three, and I feel like I'm at Sesame Street, because I really don't understand what those numbers together are all doing. But the fact remains that we've still have in our savings around $14,000 that's there, that is sort of a bridging. I think actually it might be a little bit more, but it gives us a buffer. We do have some CRA constraints as to how much we are able to retain that way because of our nonprofit status, but there's no panic. We're not going, oh, wow, we're reaching for the stars and we're not going to get anything because we're always running a little bit behind. Looking at the next slide, this gives you a little bit of a history of what's going on as far as income and expenses over the last 4 years, and then what we're anticipating for 2015-16. And so you can see we're pretty close last year. There, obviously, the income piece was a little short, and you can see that in the financial presentation there. Next year, for some of you who might not be aware, we're having to move our office facility. Our offices have been over at Legacy Pacific for the last number of years. I forget, like 10 maybe? 20 years? Okay. See, I haven't been here that long, so I don't know. But they have been a wonderful landlord for us and have done such a phenomenal job. And that has really been given us the opportunity to do the ministries that you have said to us you wanted us to do because of how generous our landlord has been in keeping the rent low. Unfortunately, the systems there have changed. The landlord stuff has changed a little bit. And we're needing now to find new office spaces. As we've been shopping for new office spaces, our jaws collectively have hit the ground as to what the costs are in rent in the area. So I just wanted to give you guys a forewarning. There will probably be more costs involved as we try and get our office moved to another facility. But our financial year is July to June, so we are only really going to see in the budget piece about 6 months of that impact. But going forward in the next several years, we are going to see some of that impact. Let's go to the next slide. So some of the things that as we sat out as a budget team and talked about, okay, where can we start trimming? Where can we make some changes? The pastoral ministry expenses, we've talked with Rob and the staff, and we've made some decreases there. The staff mileage stuff. Our staff have been really generous, but we haven't really made any increases there. As we've been looking year over year over year, it's about the same, so we haven't budgeted extra. The other thing is that we haven't made any increases in staff wages this year. If you look over the history, we did make a significant increase because for about 12 years there was nothing as far as regular increases for our staff. And so about 2 years ago, we made a significant increase in the compensation for our staff. But this year, because of the budget and how we've seen our income going, we didn't make any staff increases. If you're looking at the budget line, however, you'll see that it looks like there's like a $5,000 increase from the actual number. I want you to understand where that's coming from. Barb is our guru with the numbers. So she's the one who is really in the know. And as I was asking, okay, so we said no increase in staff wages, but I'm seeing this line that the budget says is more than what we actually did last year. Every year, CRA makes an assessment on what the deductions can be and the tax impact and all of those things. So as a budget team, In the wages line for our staff, we included a $5,000 buffer to compensate for any of those changes that may come with CRA. But as far as actual wages, we haven't done anything extra. Some of the things that we did increase, so we are paying attention and wanting to be stepping out in faith. In our missions budget, we have made some increases there. And we've also taken into consideration, as I've mentioned, the moving pieces for moving our office space. The last slide here. I wanted to just do a quick introduction. You're going to be hearing more about this over the next several months. There's an organization called PushPay. PushPay is an online service that allows us to make credit card debits and for you to make regular payments, kind of like we've been trying to answer the question, how can I get a bill payment line in my bank account where I just go into my bank account website and pay a bill or add it as a regular debit to my account, my tithing portion for the church. So Barb has done some incredible background work, there's a lot of cost prohibitive pieces for us to even get into as being a payee on your bank account. It costs us a lot to do that, it's prohibitive. This is actually a really great opportunity, and Barb has done a lot of legwork, and here's the cool part I want to tell you. I think this is one of the pieces where I can see God's fingerprints helping us in this area. PushPay, we are going to go forward with this, and so we'll get more about this in the new year, but they have a 5% increase in giving guarantee. So what that means is, if we choose to go this way, it's going to become convenient for all of us to regularly do our giving to a 5% increased degree because of showing up saying, oh, I forgot my checkbook, I don't have a pen, I don't have any cash. Oh, today I got here, it was a crazy family thing, and oh, man. PushPay is going to be the opportunity for you to download an app on your phone and make a payment, kind of like a PayPal idea, to the church account. And PushPay as a company guarantees a 5% increase. If you look at our budget line this year, we've budgeted $348,250. 5% works out to about $17,000. And if you look at the bottom of our budget, what our shortfall is, it's about $17,000. Isn't that cool? So should this actually be accurate? And if we don't do the 5%, if I'm not mistaken, they don't charge us or it's free. So if we don't see a 5% benefit, it's free. So I thought, what a cool thing to leave us with at the end of the morning, that even though at the bottom of our budgeting line or our financial statement we've got a $17,000 deficit, this 5% guarantee from PushPay is equivalent to $17,000. Isn't that amazing? So that's what God's doing. We're going to see where it goes from here. But the biggest piece for us is we just want to say a huge, huge thank you to you as a church for your generosity and willingness to participate in what God's doing both here in Chilliwack and right across the globe. So thank you very much.
It's unenviable to come up and talk about that stuff on a Sunday morning, but thanks. Great job. I'm going to ask our ushers if they come forward at this time. Then in your bulletin, you will have noticed that you have received a green slip and a yellow slip. One is for the budget, which is the yellow, and one is for our leadership team, which is the green. If you could, and I'll give you guys a little bit of time to fill that out. Our ushers are poised as it is. I will release them to you shortly for you to drop those ballots, maybe sending them to the edges. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask, there she is. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I won't even ask you to come up because I know you hate coming up. So, Sandy, correctly identified from the annual celebration service booklet last week, I made an error in my own report, and it was marrying Andrew Lowen to his sister-in-law by saying we met as young adults at Andrew and what's her name? Teresa's place. Yeah. So here you go. Well done. Well identified, Sandy. You are the winner. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Step one. Step two, I need Rosie, I need Marilee, and I need Kelly to come forward at this time, please, if they would. Yeah, we're sort of doing them simultaneously. Do you want to collect now? Let's do that. Collect now. Come on forward. Awesome. Even as you are submitting those ballots, because I know you can multitask unless you're a guy. How was that? That was for you. That was for you guys. Yeah. All right. Rosie, thanks so much. You stepped into the gap when we needed you for that finishing of Mike's term. Thanks so much, my friend. Marilee, thank you for exploring with us as you did for that year. You are sending these two fine ladies to the Greek island restaurant. Fantastic. And then for, oh, where is it? Kelly. I have that for someone else shortly. Kelly, I need you to, well, Kelly's been on our team for 6 consecutive years now. And it won't even feel like leadership without her. So on your behalf, we're sending Tony and her to Harrison Hot Springs for an evening. But I did say to her, because you've been on leadership for so long, we're going to buy you a brand new car. So in here is a brand new car. If you could take it out, it's there for you. Yes. Look carefully. It's right there. And there it is. It's a Hot Wheel. Yes. Can we thank our leadership team ladies? Thank you so much. And the last person I will ask to come up, and she hates coming up too, but I'm going to do it anyway, is my friend Barb Kochman. If you would come up, Barb. Barb, I've said this before in the past. I get to work at the... What? I beg your who? Oh. Would someone be willing to count them for us? Could I get 2 volunteers? Who would like... Thank you, Katrina and Jeevan. Thank you. If you maybe take a table out there and count both out and give us a sense of what that result is, I'll report that to you maybe even before we break for lunch. Barb Kochman, the church I get to work at that she runs, that was sort of the punchline for a long time. That's sort of changed, but I'll tell you what, all the finances, all the behind-the-scenes stuff, all the paying of the bills, all the CRA stuff, all the rules, all the work around push pay, everything comes off the back of this little one here. So thank you, Barb, so much for this. You're the best, buddy. We are sending... Okay, you can go. We are sending Barb and Alf off to Harrison Hot Springs as well. So thank you so much for all your work, Barb. I think that's pretty much it, other than you may or may not know this. I have one more video, actually, Skit Guys as well. And it relates to what's happening next Sunday, November 1st. What's happening next Sunday? Time change. So if you can give me that last video, please. And the lights, Jim.
You.
My name is Darth Schmader. I've come to deliver an important message.
I'm calling the cops.
Silence, Earthling.
What do you want from me?
The annual human custom of saving daylight is upon you. Daylight savings.
You will adjust your clock and you will arrive to church on time, or I will vaporize you with my gamma ray.
Please, no! No!
So how'd it go?
Count them in as a plus one.
Let's hit the road!
Well, we're going, we don't need roads.
What? We always need roads.
No, honey, the people that we're going to visit next, they live in a houseboat.
Ew, a marina. Sounds neato.
Bye. Buckle up, baby.